We're in lesson 16, and we're going to start in Daniel. We worked through Daniel chapter 1, as you realize that Daniel chapter 1 is talking about the faithful remnant, and this is way over here, in the times of Jacob's trouble way over here. And we're going to start reading in verse 14. We left off in verse 19, but we're going to start reading in verse 14. Daniel chapter 2, verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to the house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning these secrets, that Daniel and his fellow servants not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, there's things that we looked at in those verses before, that when Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Antioch, he just didn't barge in and say, "Hey, you got to listen to me. I've got answers." No, he respected them and all. And then if you notice in 17 and 18 that Daniel went into the house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And that the fact that Daniel resorted to prayer. He's asking them to look to God for the answers. These are four people that knew who God was, didn't they? God of who? God of Allah? God of Egypt? God of Israel? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They knew these things. And as we know anything about Daniel, they're young men. They're very young in their life. So they've been taught about these things since they were young. And this is exactly in line with the program that he's operating under. And it's always in line to pray and ask God for wisdom and all. So that's a faith, and that's what we have to do when we come to understand God. We seek the answers from God, but where do you find the answers? In the leaves blowing at night, right? And the trees falling, the winds and lightning and air and astrology. And no, you find it in the book. You know, he wrote us a book, and we have it there. And then if you notice in verse 17, then was the secrets revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then what did Daniel do? He blessed the God of who? Heaven. And Daniel gets the answers. And notice Daniel does what he does when he gets the answers. You know, so, you know, you can be puffed up in knowledge. You know that? Look at me, I know everything in the world. But Daniel didn't do that. He gives God the praise. And then he, you know, then he didn't act like he was smarter than anybody else. So there's seven things in there we need to consider, okay? Daniel chapter... verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, that thou hast made known unto the king's matter." There's at least seven things there in those verses we just read of. One is wisdom and might are who? His. You with me? They're not mine and yours. It's talking to God. Two, he changes times and seasons. 3, he sets up kings and removes kings. 4, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that knoweth understanding. 5, he revealeth deep and secret things. And 6, he knoweth what is the darkness and in the light. And 7, he is God. So these are very, very important things. And if you've got a problem, if Daniel got a problem, who's going to take care of that?
God.
God's going to take care of that. And, you know, I know people go through a lot of things in their life, and they pray to God, and they're just sticking around and waiting for God to show them the way, you know, or lead them by the hand. Listen, God gave us a book and gave us some books to understand. And Romans through Philemon is a book for you and I that we can understand what God is doing today. And if you want to know the will of God, you've got to know who He is in the Bible. And then you find what He's doing today. What He did in times past is one thing. That's not applying to you and I today. But what He's doing today in the dispensation of grace, you've got books to understand where God is at today. Is God, how does God manifest Himself today? Through the Bible, but how is he manifesting Himself?
In the body of Christ?
Yes, yes. That's how He's seen. That's how He manifests us. We have the God of creation living inside of us. And you don't have to go to wise men in the world to find the answer. They don't have the answer what Daniel's looking for. You with me? They don't have. Now, listen. Many of you may have done this. I ain't holding anything against you because I've done it. I had my palms read when I was small. And they said I was going on a trip. And I had a girlfriend with me that I thought I was going to marry. And they said, she's going to get married first. I'm like, how could this be? You know, this ain't right. And I went on a long trip. 17 years old, went to New York City as a little country boy. And it was fascinating. And guess what? She got married before I did. But the thing is, you know, you go to wise men for certain things. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not. You ever notice when, as you get older, you get a little grayer? And what does people say about that?
Wisdom.
And you know, I used to like, what? I'm not. But as you think about getting wisdom of God's Word and understanding and knowledge, that's good wisdom in God's Word. But you can go out here to these schools and become, you know, philosophers and professors and all that stuff and have, and you're going to get the wisdom of the world. With me? And listen, there's nothing in the Bible that's not going to pertain. Well, how do you put this? You can find everything you need to know in God's Word. It's the greatest science book. It's the greatest math book. It's the greatest, you know, creation book or whatever. You can find it right there. But you don't have to go to the wise men of the world. Hey, we got people we put in positions and stuff, and we thought they was wise in what they turned out to be. Not so wise. So if you have a problem, you have to seek the answer from God. And, you know, if you look at it, pray about it, meditate it over the book, the Word of God, that's how you find the answers. Now, I've been guilty. Maybe many of us read books about the book. But we won't pick up the book. You ever notice that? I've got a little library of books about, and most of them about Bibles and things like that. And I look at some of that stuff, I'm like, I'd rather have the answer right here. Many of you have Bibles that's like this. I use a Scofield. And Scofield was a dispensationalist. But he also was a Baptist, and he had a Bible to sell. That's why a lot of Baptist churches and stuff would have Scofield. But this Bible's full of his notes. And at the time when I got this, if you were studying and preaching, teaching a little bit, I was looking at his notes versus and following what you have in God's Word. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's his wisdom. That ain't God's wisdom. It can be used as a tool, though. But you know what? You're going to have something that Daniel didn't have. You know what it is? Well, we had Jesus, but what? But that's the key right there. We have a completed Word of God. Daniel didn't. Daniel had the information and Bibles all accumulated up to that time, but he didn't have a complete Bible. And that's what you and I have. We don't have to think about any more revelations that God's already done. We have a complete book. Either you believe it or you don't. And those blank pages in the back is not for more revelations. It's for note-taking. Okay? So you don't have to worry about what God's doing anymore. You have a completed word, and he spoke the words. Paul says that he's completed the word of God in the dispensation. And a lot of people say, well, John, Revelation is the last book in the Bible written. No, it's not. No, it's not. If you look where it's written at, it was written long before AD 90. And Paul's epistles completed the word of God. And now you have a canon of scriptures. Now, is it chronological in order?
No.
You wouldn't be able to follow it like you do today. But let's go on. We have a finished book of God's word. And we don't need to look to the heavens and say, Lord, speak to me that way. Because what do you know in the dispensation of grace? Who is the God of this world?
Satan.
Okay. He's Satan, right? Who's the prince and power of the air?
Satan.
Okay, so if you look, and there's three heavens, guys. Many of you know this. Okay, Paul says, whether in the body, out of body, I'm a man 14 years, and went to the third heaven called paradise. Went to paradise. In the body, out of body, I could not tell. He went to the third heaven, and he's looking at his body, and he couldn't tell because his soul was still the same shape as he was in this clay pot. So if you break this clay pot away, the soul is still who you are. And he's looking at himself. So there's three heavens. So you got the blue skies, that's one. You got the stars and galaxies, that's two. And you got the third heaven where God is. And God put a sea of glass on it, and you're not getting up there. Okay? Unless you're spiritually brought up there. And so, if you're looking at the heavens and looking for the Lord to speak, who's controlling the first and second heaven if he's the prince and power of the air? So if you're looking at the stars and telling the stars lining up and they're trying to tell me something, no, who's controlling those? Satan's controlling those. You know, zodiacs, and we talked about this before. God created the first zodiac. And it started with a Virgo, a virgin, and ends it with Leo the lion. Well, if you flip open the pages in your newspaper, it's different. So God had a story up there to tell before he spoke this word. That's exciting, guys. But he spoke that into existence. So ever since creation, God spoke words. I know I'm getting off a little bit. But we can go to the Bible and say, speak, Lord. Your servants listen. So that's why it's very, very important to know how to rightly divide a word of God where God's speaking to you and I. Now, all the Bible's for us. Y'all know that. But not all of it's to us. And if you take things out of here pertaining to Israel and try to apply it to your life, you're going to be in deep trouble. You're not going to advance in God's word. The word of God is complete. It's full. And revelations, additional revelations over with. So when you get these people, says, God spoke to me last night, and this is what he... Yeah, right. If they're married, they're probably their wife spoke to them last night, you know, or the pepperoni pizza, you know, that type of thing. God don't speak that way, guys. He speaks through his word. And if you get that word down inside of you, the spirit that's inside of you is the same spirit to raise God from the dead. And you get the word of God inside of you, that gets to move in that spirit. And now you get to know some things that you didn't know before. But if you're trying to force a doctrine down in there, I think your Holy Spirit just stays there and like, you know, I'm not doing that. So if that's not doing it, guess who's doing it? You're making it do it. But anyway, let's move on. You can go to the book and say, Lord, you give me wisdom and why to the wise and knowledge to them that have no understanding. You reveal deep secret things. What is in the darkness you know, and light dwells with you. You know, in other words, I can't see, but give me the answers. So where are you going to search for the answers? In the book. And if you trust God and get in the book, he will give you the answers. And I think you and I, many of us know that. And we're getting to a point in our lives as a believers and in your own personal ministries that you need some more wisdom. You know, I look at, the couples out here with young kids, and you're like, sometimes I need wisdom, don't you, Benny? Like, when you're like, oh, man, these kids are, doing this and doing that. What do I do? Well, you stick to the plan, Many of us brought up, and a very disciplined type of thing and all. But notice in 19. When the world puts you between a rock and a hard place, don't forget about Daniel's example. That's what I'm trying to get at. You know what I mean? He's got an example out there that we can live. Listen, what was written aforetime was written for our learning. You don't necessarily have to take application, but you can learn from some things. Okay? And we've already looked in Daniel chapter 1 how even Paul uses examples what Daniel used. And he used what Moses has used, and that type of thing. And notice in verse 19 that Daniel blessed the God of who?
Heaven.
In verse 18, it says the mercies of God of who? Heaven. And we talked about the expression of God in heaven before. And that title in 2 Corinthians chapter 36, verse 23, is the characteristic title of the times of the Gentiles. And I'll read that to you if you want me to. It says, Thus saith King Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. And he charges me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord, his God, be with him. Let him go up. Now, what does it say? All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of who? Heaven. Well, what about the Lord God of the earth? Where's he at already? Now, this is the big L. Is Lord God here? Was he there in times past? Listen, it was the God of all the earth when he ruleth between the cherubims of it in Israel. You with me? When he was on the mercy seat, when he was in the temple, the God Almighty himself dwelleth between the cherubims. Y'all understand that, don't you? God of all the who? Earth. We already looked at he got up from that mercy seat, going. He went to the threshold, going. And he went out to the mountainsides, gone. He left Israel politically, guys, so he's no longer the God of all the earth. With me? Because Israel refused him and refused him and refused him. Like a little kid. And you have to discipline him. But the thing is, he ascended up and goes away. God takes that throne off the earth and is no longer with Israel. You do realize that. Okay? And he takes it, his throne, into where? Into the heavens. And he gives Israel, his nation, the nation though which he was to rule, into the hands of who? There you go. Say, we're at a point right now in the prophetic calendar of events, when you get to Daniel, the times of the Gentiles takes place. And it's not over with. Even through the dispensation of grace, you're still in the times of the Gentiles. You with me? So he's no longer, so he gives Israel into the hands of the Gentiles. That's never been known before, guys. Because Israel was a nation not to be reckoned among the nations. They're not supposed to be a part of the United Nations back in times past. But you see them there today, don't you? God ain't dealing with nations. He's dealing with the body today, guys. God gives that position of supreme rulers into the hands of the Gentile nation. That's why we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? And until Israel fell politically and God become no longer the God of all the earth, but the God of who? Heaven. So, who's ruling the earth down here? Outside of Satan. Outside of Satan, he's the God of the world. Man, didn't you read? He set up kings and takes away kings. God, believe it or not, he's still in control. But he's not over the kingdom like he was in times past or when he's going to be. And no one Gentile nation ever had supremacy over the earth because the position belonged to Israel and Israel alone up to that point. You never had these other, you had other nations, but Israel was the nation of God, and people feared that. That's awesome if you think about it. But like anything else, flesh gets in the way. They start messing around with other religion. They start mingling with other things. We're talking about those six. You know, when Joshua goes into the promised land, there's at least six satanic strongholds. Hittites, Jesuites, Jersetites, all the mites. That is the baddest of the bad. That's the worst of all. But there's four more, so there's actually ten. But those six right there are extremely the baddest of the bad. And when God told Israel to go in there, he said, wipe them out. Leave nothing. Because he knew what was going to happen. And what happens?
They wipe them out.
And what happened?
They make them fail.
So that should tell us something. When we start to compromise some things. When you compromise, you think it's going to help you? Nope. It's going to hurt you. And when Israel, through her failure, forfeited that right, God withdrew it until the time, Daniel 44, when he says, chapter 2, verse 44, when he says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall never be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for what?
Ever.
For 1,000 years. Now it's going to stand, but when? When the God of who? Heaven. Okay? And that's when God will set up a kingdom. Did that happen yet?
No.
What about when he rode in on the donkey?
No.
How about when he was born in May? There's no kingdom being set up there. And that stone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, will come back and establish that kingdom. And God will do for Israel what she can't do for herself. Until that time, that throne's not there. That throne's not in Jerusalem. That throne's, the mercy seat's gone. The Ark of the Covenant's gone. You can't find that. Even though I'm watching this, the curse of Oak Island off the coast of and they're the Templars and stuff believe the Ark of the Covenant down there. They buried it, and I'm watching this with anticipation. And you only got 50 some minutes of it, and they lead you on to the next time. And the weather's getting bad, so they can't drill no more. And then all of a sudden, where these drillers, they're on strike. So they're that ended that night. I'm like. But they're finding all these clues, of 1700s and century, 17th century artifacts up there.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, wow, man, did they bring the treasures here? And they're deep, man. They're you ought to watch some of that. Well, you don't have to believe it, but the thing is, the throne has been removed, and that's one of the that's what we looked at. The prophet Isaiah said. Crown has fallen off their heads. He took the crown that was Israel's crown and took it away from them. And Israel has to been removed from that position, guys. And Daniel is involved with the political fall of Israel. And God's throne is removed from earth, and the times of the Gentiles come in. Okay? You with me? So they're not that position of authority that God had. They will be again one day, right? In ages to come. Now, the God of heaven gives Nebuchadnezzar a vision about a future time. The God of heaven does. Not the God of this world, but not the pepperoni pizza that he ate the night before, or the many wives that he may have. But the God of heaven is going to reveal through Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. And to us, we're going to find out the course of the world, okay? There's a course that's being set up in Daniel chapter 2, where you're at right now. It's going to show the times of the Gentiles all through this. Now, this is a timeline of your Bible up here. That's all it is. And you can find it in your book. But all through here, from this place here, is times of the Gentiles. We're still in the times of the Gentiles, guys. And so you know that God didn't just leave it for just anything to go on, but the God of heaven still rules. He rules in your heart, don't he? Okay? And it's just a indirectly, rather through his instrument, the nation of Israel, they fall. But he rules from heaven. This is what it changes to God of heaven. So he's no longer ruling on earth like he did, but he's ruling in heaven. And we're going to see passages a little further on what God has set up Nebuchadnezzar, how he set him up. And the God of heaven makes these things known. There's something else you need to know about verse 19. The secret was revealed unto Daniel in what? Night vision. Now the word secret is the word in the New Testament for the word mystery. With me? It's not mysteriously, magical. It's secret. Word mystery means secret. And the mysteries of or secrets in the prophetic program. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Stay in Daniel, though. Get Revelation chapter 1. So you have mysteries or secrets in the prophetic program that wasn't revealed. And Matthew 13 is for a good example. This involves the rejection of Israel, and they are in unbelief. They have been set aside politically, and then God makes known a secret unto Daniel. The Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene in the book of Matthew, and he presents himself as king to the nation. And what do? All hail our King. King, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, you're here. What did they do? They rejected him. Okay? In Matthew 11 and Matthew 12, the rejection of Christ is clearly established. We've already worked through this. They reject him as the prophet, they reject him as the priest, and they reject him as the king. He came prophet, priest, and king. He has all three of those positions. In Matthew 13, Jesus goes outside of the house and sits by the seaside. And that's a typology of him going out of the house of Israel and sitting by the sea. Now, in prophecy, the sea is type of the nations. A whole sea of nations out there. And you're looking out, he's looking out over the masses and looking out with a longing heart over those nations. And what does he do? He speaks in a mystery parable of a kingdom. Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of what? Yeah. Heaven. But to them it is not what? Yeah. So he's mysteries of the kingdom. He's showing them some secrets. If you know what he did on times past, he told them a lot of times, don't tell them who I am. And you know what? What gets me is he took a handful of people and he's feeding them and he's training them and he's teaching them to do some things when he's in his absence. And you know when he talked about that they have to be fed first? You know what it is? And I feel this sometimes. If I don't eat breakfast and I come up here and preach, I get hungry. But when I'm on a full stomach, I'll be able to feed you more. You with me? So you have to first be fed. This is good for you guys when you're teaching right division and teaching somebody to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be fed first in order to feed somebody. We use the analogy on the airplane all the time. If there's turbulence or whatever and the oxygen mask first drops, what do they teach you to do first? Don't put it on your little kids. Don't go over to grandma. Don't run up her in the cockpit. Guess what's going to happen? You ain't going to be worth a dime to anybody. So you put that mask on you first, and you, okay, and then you start doing stuff. Same principle here. They must have been fed first before they could feed anybody else. So the list, then there's a list in the chapter, what he called Mystery of Parables of the Kingdom. Here are some secret things about a kingdom. Because of Israel's rejection, he reveals a secret about the prophetic program. Israel is a who? A nation. I think sometimes we forget about this, guys. God dealt with a little flock over here. He didn't deal with a nation. The nation of Israel rejected them. The ones who knew the laws, the ones who kept the prophets and all that stuff, the Word of God, they didn't care about Jesus Christ. You know, they didn't care about that nation. He came to his own, and his own refused him not. So what did he do? He said, "It's my Father's good pleasure to give to you." That's a little flock, not you and I. You and I are not back there. You and I are Gentiles down here on this bottom. They called us dogs, uncircumcised. We were filth to them. Okay? But now we know it's different. But anyway, Revelation chapter 1. Daniel gets a secret. Christ reveals a secret. Then John, the Revelator, he is given a secret with regard to a prophetic program. Not the body, not the mystery program. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, "The mysteries of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. It is a mystery about the seven stars. See it?
Yeah.
It's just secret. Nobody's revealed that to nobody but him. What God is dealing with there is the nation Israel in the tribulation period. So if I close this chart up, this is your Bible in the prophetic program without Acts, if you will, without last part of Acts, Romans through Philemon. You won't find that there. In the prophetic program, you will not find that the Lord Jesus Christ is creating the body of Christ. You will not find about that he is the head of a church. You find that he's the head of a nation, but not the church. And I think a lot of people try to confuse that. Well, maybe they just meant it's the church, the body of Christ. Not, you know, no. He tells you some things. And my point is about the mysteries and the secrets in the prophetic program. The book of Daniel talks about it, and Daniel understands that. Where did he get his wisdom from? God. Okay? And all. And of course, it's the times of the Gentiles. Now, there was something that Israel hadn't counted on. They didn't count on this times of the Gentiles. God's always probably took care of them. They probably like, "My Father, forgive me. He'll give it to me anyway." Yeah, he's going to give it to you. Right over here for rejecting him, Israel. Their time's coming, you know that. Okay? And that's why I say all the time, you better thank God Almighty when you wake up every morning that you're in a dispensation of grace and not under law, because if you're under law, you'd have been spanked and under wrath. You know, it's not fun being put under law. I'm under law every time. We're the little grace church under law. But look, it's the course of the Gentiles. And they came the mystery of the parables and the kingdom and the Israel's stubborn unbelief and rejection of that kingdom. They kept rejecting, kept going over here, kept going over there. And kept their little idols, as we looked at before. Then in Revelation, John gives a mystery. And those are secrets in the prophetic program that have been talked about. Then you come to Apostle Paul, and there's a new mystery. Program. Hold your finger and go to Romans chapter 16 right quick. Yeah, you can let go of Revelation. Romans 16. and get Ephesians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 1.
Wow.
Hey, God gave you 10 fingers and 10 toes, 2 elbows, and a bunch of pencils. And tissues, whatever. Okay. Chapter 1. Romans chapter 16. I just want to show you. Paul's given a mystery program. Romans 16:25. Some of you probably know this by heart. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching, Romans 16:25, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the prophecy.
Mystery.
Revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. So something was kept secret, what? Since the world began. That's not prophetic. That's something that was hidden God. I told you to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1. If for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, we have an apostle. We have some things given to us. For us Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you, and they have, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore and through words, whereby when you read, you may understand the knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed to the holy prophets and prophets of the Spirit. That the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by what? The law of Moses. By the gospel. But something was what? Which was in other ages was not made known. This was kept secret. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore thou, Paul, is made a minister. Now let me ask you something. What gospel is he talking about?
He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom, isn't he?
Grace.
Gospel of the grace of God, which is preached. That has never always been preached, guys. But Paul said it's been preached to what? Listen, I believe wholeheartedly this verse. That there was a time that Paul, when he preached the gospel, the grace of God, every creature heard it. So what happened between then and now? Why is there so many people says there's only one gospel? No, there's not one gospel. There's at least 5 gospels or more. What's happened? What's made people say that you've got to believe a kingdom gospel to be saved today? You know, there is a gospel of the circumcision. It's right here. Gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the uncircumcision. Gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the uncircumcision. Gospel of the grace of God. Gospel of peace. Yeah, man's got involved in it. Satan's got involved in it. He's printing Bibles. He's telling people that say, hey, you want to build a church? Here's what you got to preach. You want big crowds? People like crowds. To me, they're more headaches. I didn't mean that'd be ugly, but think about it. Yeah. But there's a gospel that was preached to every creature. So at one time, the world, every under heaven, people known. Or at least could have heard. Hey, wasn't there a time over here and back here in times past that God's word went out to hold the land and people can get saved? We're going to see this in a few minutes. But let's keep going. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to what? To fulfill the word of God. Paul has fulfilled the word of God, guys. You don't have to look no further. But you better know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Keep going. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made. Listen, there's verses upon verses upon verses in the prophetic program. Something was made known since the world began. So even Paul, and there is a new mystery secret program, not a mystery secret in the prophetic program, but a new program that is entirely, and that's this time period right here that you're in. We're in a dispensation of grace that was not made known until right now with Paul. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Everybody's down here, they're lost. That's the heathen. And Paul goes to those heathen, and that's you and I. We don't have to come up here and become a Jew. I'm not saying that'd be ugly, to be saved today. Everybody's down here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 24. Daniel chapter 2, verse 24. That was a little sidebar, guys. I'm getting ready to get in the message, so hang on. Daniel chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had obtained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king's interpretation. You know what Daniel don't want to happen there? What was the king's decree at that time? You think Daniel wants that to happen?
No.
He don't want that to happen. They were saved because there was a man of God in their midst. And if Daniel had not been there, guess what had happened?
They'd all be dead.
And they were saved because Daniel received the dream and interpretation from God and was able to give the information to the king. Now, in Acts chapter 20, give me a few more minutes, guys. Acts chapter 27, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 27, there's a similar incident with Apostle Paul. And it concerns a ship going through to Rome upon which Paul is sailing, and all those sailing with Paul are safe. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. But after long, was it abstinence? Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not had loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me the night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. What's going on there? You had a man of God in the midst of the ships, people are going to die, and what happened?
He told them they're not going to die.
They were saved.
Yeah.
So Paul says this in Timothy too. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Anytime you got somebody preaching the word of God, you yourself, you got God inside of you and you're preaching the words of God, you can save people. They can hear. Listen, a lot of people always say, man, I wish I knew what you knew. Boy, if I just knew what you knew, I'd be able to do this. Well, tell people what you do know. How did you get saved? Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Plus what?
Nothing
else. That's the thing. They hear words coming from you. Then you can show them in the Bible. They may not even know. Listen, I'll say this time and time again. There's three types of people in the book of Acts 17. And there's people knew the word of God. Paul, they searched the scripture daily to see what Paul was saying was true. Brilliant. And then you had the Thessalonica. You know, they knew who God was and they believed it. Then you had the Athenians. They didn't know who Jesus Christ was. And can you imagine people not knowing who Jesus Christ is today? You think there's people out there that don't know who He is? You better believe they're out there. You better believe they're out there. So if they don't know who Jesus Christ is, how are you going to tell them about that? They don't believe Him. So what do you got to do? What did He do to Adam? He took them back to God the Creator. Said, you serve an unknown God. So let me tell you who this God is. So He takes them back to creation and He works them through that. And they're like, and He brings them to God the Creator. And then they find who Jesus Christ is. Men get saved because there is a man of God among them. And this is as true as the Old Testament. Hey, you know, remember Elijah? Remember he sits by the brook? And God feeds him with a raven. Then he drinks from the brook. And what did the brook do? It dried up. Okay? And then where he goes on and down to a widow's house. And she's fixing the last little cakes of flour and oil. Right? She says, I only got a little bit. And he instructs her to make the cake too. She gives Elijah the first cake. And sure enough, there was enough for what? Enough for her too. To make another cake. The oil and flour never ran out. And the woman and her son lived through that famine. Why? What are we talking about? There was a man of God in the house. He's the one believing, looking for God. Hey, do you know why the nations of this earth are going to get, how they're going to get through over here? There's a nation of God. In the midst of them. Listen, there's no nation of God in the midst of anybody today. God's not dealing with a nation. He's dealing with a body. And we're all members in particular. Each one of us is different. And each one of us serve God differently. And Daniel was being that what that nation of Israel should be to that Gentile nation. Imagine that. Daniel and those three little Hebrew kids, out of all those captivities and that Babylon captivity, we've seen how bad it is and what we're still yet to go through some things. That's not a pleasant place. It's pleasant for the flesh. But here's a little group there. And he's being that nation of Israel. And he was their salvation to that group. He don't want no harm coming to them. And, you know, we look at a lost person today, you really don't want no harm to them, do you? But if they keep rejecting the gospel, what are you going to do? Are you going to lose sleep? You know, you got to say, well, there's the next person over here. All you can do, guys and gals, today is share the gospel, the grace of God. And you can know right division. Right division don't save you. Right division, just a clear understanding how to understand the whole Bible. And if you can understand the Bible, what a blessing that is and the wisdom and knowledge you're going to get. And there's a spiritual principle in this that applies to you and I today in every age. You be what God meant you to be, because in being so, you're going to help someone spiritually. You know that? I think you do. I think when people see you differently and acting differently, I don't care what you act like before. It's what you're doing now and in the presence of people. And they say, wow, you're different. What's making you different? It's the diet I'm on. It's the exercise I'm doing. It's the sleep that I'm getting. What's really the difference in you? Daniel 2:25, right quick. Then Arioch brought in Daniel. Listen to this now. Brought in Daniel before the king in haste. He couldn't wait, could he? What's going to happen to these guys? They're going to die. And they're probably lining them up in front of people because they're waiting to see them give the king's decree. You know, they want... and said thus unto him, I have found a man of captives of Judah that will make known unto the king's interpretation. Now what did he just say?
Somebody, man of God.
But did he?
Can't even say man of God.
But no, what I'm saying, Arioch did not find him. Daniel went to him. So he's like, I have found a guy. Yeah, he's taking credit for it. It's how quickly someone can take credit for something that someone else's work done. I watch that all the time, guys. I open my big mouth to these drivers and say, you know, this is what you should do. And if I would do this, and they go in and say, you know, this is what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
And then the bosses say, hey, such and such had a good idea. And you're sitting there like, and there's time I said, you know, I've mentioned that to them. But it happens every time.
Amen.
You know? Yeah. So in verse 16, so sometimes you're just going to, because I talk too much. I'm wanting to help people. I really do. I don't want to see nobody struggle out there. Dan's been in this profession. It's a struggle out there. It's a dog eat dog. People will run over you. You know, people will take your business away. But anyway, in verse 16, it was Daniel who went into the king and desired to help. Remember, we read that.
Yeah.
Arioch first takes credit for finding the man, then gives credit to Daniel. Let's close there. Any questions or comments? And we'll pick up verses 26 through 28.